You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
This is where Wisconsin wakes up. It's Daybreak with Brian Noonan and Jamie Martinson. Here are your hosts, Brian and Jamie.
Good morning, 6:06 right now. We hope that your day is off to a great start. You are listening to the Civic Media Network. My name is Jamie Martinson.
Well, look who's back. Glad to see you. I'm Brian Noonan. Yes, yeah, see, now, Frega Parker, I'll know when to start talking because Jamie's back. So it's all, everything should be back to normal. So are you rested? Did you actually vacation?
Or
did you use this as an excuse to work nonstop?
No. There were a few work meetings involved in this particular vacation. It's why it fell when it did. But at the same time, no, we came back rested. What I did learn on this particular trip is that I don't like flying. I love the experience. And if you are somebody who has to be in airports often, I'm just sorry. Our trip from Madison to Orlando, the day we left last Wednesday, took us 12 and a half hours with all of the delays and layovers. It was ridiculous.
This is a timeline that doesn't make sense. But if you have an airline horror story, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Now, I know if I were to drive from Madison to Orlando, it would take me
about 19 hours.
18 to 20. Yeah.
Yeah.
18 to 20 hours. All right. So it took you 12 to fly, and flying 12. Much faster normally.
It's supposed to be. That's what they tell me anyway.
So what happened?
Well, it was just one of those things where every time we looked at the boarding pass or we looked down at our email, we had another email that was telling us that we were being delayed. And so we got through security just fine. Obviously, there was a bit of a line because we left on early on a Wednesday morning. So, you know, people trying to get where they need to for a long extended weekend.
And security took a long time. You didn't just run through it?
Security took us probably, I would say that we were there for, in Madison even, we were there for probably about 10 minutes. So
okay.
Not bad. Madison Airport, usually smaller, easy to get through. So we were able to get through security. We got to our gate. We were able to have a leisurely breakfast. Our first plane ended up being delayed about 15, 20 minutes. So not that big of a deal.
That's not bad.
So we're like, okay, this is cool. No big deal. Then it was when we got to O'Hare that everything just went wonky.
You flew from Madison to O'Hare and then O'Hare as to Orlando?
Jamie, be respectful to my dear airport now.
In fact, at one point I texted you and I'm like, we might just live here now, because it started out as a 1 hour delay that then got bumped to a 3 hour delay that then eventually got bumped to about a 4.5 hour delay.
Was it weather? What were they telling you? Probably nothing.
They weren't telling us anything.
It was
just a complete delay. So we eventually got back onto the plane, made it to Orlando. What I will say is that I don't know who planned the Orlando airport, but anybody who puts ridges into carpeting when you're trying to wheel your suitcases through and puts pebble walkways through restaurants when you're trying to wheel a suitcase is an absolute moron.
What did I say?
Wow.
Jamie texted me and told me about her O'Hare nightmares, and I said, well, here's the good news. You're flying into EMCO, which is quite literally my most hated airport of all time.
Really? And I've heard it has a hotel in it and all kinds
of restaurants.
Yeah, because you're going to be trapped there forever.
Wow. And so we on the way back, we eventually get to Orlando. Everything is great. We had our meetings on Thursday all day. And then we ended up going over to Epcot for their after hours, which was super, super fun. They only do this a few times throughout the year. And so it just happened that on the 23rd, the day of our anniversary, and they were having this after hours where you can go see the fireworks. You know, the admission is cheaper. The lines are shorter. It was an absolute blast. And, you know, for two people who have been married for 23 years who are now now in their late 40s. We had a really great time at the Magic Kingdom all by ourselves. Here's what I will say, though, is there's a reason that we never took our kids, and I am certainly glad that we never did, because I was watching the parents even after hours. Well, after hours even, you know, the kids are tired. They have it's to stand in line. You have
I was
like, I can't imagine dragging my kids through this during the day. And then here's what I did discover. As we were walking in, there were people walking out because they'd been at the park all day. Mm-hmm. At one point, I looked at my husband and I said, are these people okay? They look like they've just come out of a prison or something, like some sort of war scene. And he goes, I guess that's what happens when you're at the Magic Kingdom for 14 hours on a 90-degree day. Oh, my gosh. So then I was freaked out just a little bit. But no, it ended up being a gorgeous night, and we had an absolute blast. We headed over to Kennedy Space Center the very next day. We had a breakfast meeting to wrap up from the day before, and then we went over to Kennedy. This was my husband's dream. He is a science nerd, and I do love science as well. I have never watched so many IMAX movies in my entire life. I've never been ushered around as much as I had been.
Oh, you got the full package?
Wow. Oh, he wanted to do everything. We did the bus tour. We did it all. The park opened at 9 a.m. We got there at 9:30 a.m. and we were there until they were doing the last call out the gates.
Wow. That's your Disneyland or Disney World.
Because he loves himself some good science. And it was super fun. We had a blast over there. Then on Saturday morning, I don't even know what day it was. Saturday, we had to get dressed. We had to get back to the airport. Flying out of Orlando, we had about a 25-minute wait in security early Saturday morning. Now, this is before 6 a.m.
That's actually not bad.
Wow. So 25 minutes we waited, and we got through security. Our plane was delayed to start things off. In fact, on Friday morning, we were told through email that our plane was going to be delayed. So we already knew that things were delayed. So we got there, we waited, finally boarded, finally got on the plane and made our way back to Madison or to or O'Hare, I should say. It was at O'Hare that things went a little wonky again, because we were running extremely late by this point because our connecting flight was not delayed in any way, or at least we were told. So when we now, if you've ever been to O'Hare, you know this is a large airport. So
just a little.
We exited the gate on H. We were on the H concourse. We were told that the connecting flight was over on the L concourse. Now, mind you, we have about 10 minutes to get from H to L at O'Hare, which is no small feat. So we make our way from H to L only to get the update as we're standing at gate L1. Oh, by the way, your plane is not delayed and you are now at gate G1. So now we have to go all the way back across the airport, which is about another 10-minute walk. Luckily, the plane was delayed, and they were just aborting the flight prior to us when we got there. And we got on the plane, and I looked at Corey, and I said, is this convenient? Is this really what people think is convenient about air travel? Because I could have drove. I could have stopped when I wanted to. I could do bathroom breaks whenever I want to. I could eat anywhere I wanted to, and nobody'd bring me a bag of peanuts. Like
I was going to bring this up, that probably Madison to O'Hare is not that bad a drive.
No, it's really not. And we didn't book these because we were having meetings. We did not book our own airfare. This was done through the business we were meeting with. So they booked our airfare for us. So we were kind of at the mercy. You know, we were able to give them a couple of different suggestions, and then they booked the one that made most sense for them. So we were at their mercy. We did offer to drive from Madison to Chicago. Yeah. They chose to book us the flight anyway. It's a quick 30-minute flight once you actually, you know, get on.
I was going to say, it's wheels up and wheels down.
Yeah,
the flights are never the problem. It's the actual
it's the getting
taking
on one.
Before you, yeah, before the...
Oh, and then we had a seat that was broken on one of our flights, so we had to have maintenance come over and first class, and they had to do a whole incident write-up before we could take off, and there had to be paperwork that was done. They had to tack down some carpet on one of the flights because that was a tripping hazard, and of course, the airlines don't want to be sued by somebody who might potentially trip on a quarter of carpet.
Barely hanging on as it is.
Oh, man. So, the trip was great. I said to Corey as we were getting off the plane and walking through the Madison airport back to our vehicle, I said, maybe next time we just drive. Road trips are fun. They can be fun.
Not for 20 hours or not. You guys are always so busy. You can't dedicate 40 hours in your week.
I don't know.
Driving to Orlando and back.
I don't know. I think he's a little aired out at this point because he had just been to NAB in Las Vegas the same week. I actually came home just for a day or so before we had to fly out, so he had to do air travel earlier in the week. He's got a trip to Boston that he has to do next week, so he has to fly yet again. And he's like, this might be it for a little bit. I might be done flying after this for a little bit.
I would stick to, I always try to stick to one direct flight. That's it. I don't do connections. I don't do layovers. If I had to fly out of somewhere close, I would make the drive to that airport just so I'd have some control over the trip.
The
you know?
Problem I think that we're seeing is that there have been so many cuts and so many issues that are happening to the airlines. There's been issues with DHS. There's been issues with TSA. So even and you brought
and
it
issues
up, Brian.
With jet fuel and flights being canceled.
Yes, there's all of that. So what should be easy flights and were direct flights not too long ago from Madison to Orlando, those no longer exist. You just can't find them unless you want to fly on something like Spirit Airlines. And okay.
Which pretty soon the government's going to own anyway, so.
Right. So, you know, there's all of that that I think goes into it as well. But I know it's supposed to be the most convenient form of travel. I know that people love to do it because you can get places that you wouldn't normally get to. But boy, oh boy. I mean, the hassle of just getting on the plane is enough to deter you at this point from being is travel really that important right now? I don't know. It was nuts. It was nuts. But we made it, and it was a good trip nonetheless. So
good. And now you're back. What are the updates? Frank got a car. What else? Frank got a car. Frank's planning a bachelor party. Parker, do we have updates on you, Parker?
I went to a brewery game.
Alicia,
had
don't
a lot
be a
drinks,
narc.
That's about it.
Look at Alicia trying to rat us out.
Trying to throw us under the bus. We were fine.
Yeah, we were fine. The FCC didn't shut us down. We're still here.
I made sure.
I had to go through transcripts and archives to figure out what we talked about, so I wasn't putting double stuff in.
A lot of stuff.
There was a lot of stuff that happened last week.
A lot.
There was.
And a lot this week, and oh, man, where do we begin? Well, I think when we come back, we need to begin at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Let's begin with Caroline Leavitt, because she's leaving.
Yeah.
Not for good, but who knows, he might find her icky once she has a baby. It might not
She's already had one, so...
Right, but he didn't have to watch the process.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Anyway, do you think the White House press briefings are going to be more or less transparent because Caroline Leavitt is leaving and the president is going to be giving some of his own press briefings? That should be a treat. All right, well, Jamie's back. We are here. It is Daybreak for a Monday. I'm Brian Noonan.
I'm Jamie Martinson. It is 6:19 right now, and you are listening to the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Now back to more of Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us on this Monday. We hope your day is off to a great start. It is 6:22 right now. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. So tell us at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, do you think the White House press briefings are going to be more or less transparent with Caroline Leavitt going on maternity leave and Donald Trump taking over some, not all, but some of the press releases. So Caroline's heading out for maternity leave. Donald Trump going to step in, give some of his own press briefings. On Friday, Caroline Leavitt addressed the fact that she would be heading out on leave and that the day's conversation with the press would likely be her last for a while. But she assured reporters, and we always take her at her word, that since they had access to Trump's phone, they likely would not need her department much while she was away. And what does it say that her department is not handling the press briefings anymore? She said, quote, "This will be my last gaggle for some time. As you can see, I'm about ready to have a baby any minute, so I'll see you guys very soon. I know you have the president's phone number personally, so I have no doubt that you will have no shortage of statements and news from the building while I'm gone." This is going to be an unprecedented, unmitigated disaster.
Well, and I think
it's already a disaster listening to her give a press briefing.
And here's the thing, though. No matter what you think of Caroline Leavitt, I have plenty of thoughts.
I don't think much.
The one thing you can say about her is she is consistent and very on message and very disciplined for this administration. She's essentially an attack dog for the president. That's simply her role. Her job isn't necessarily to give us more information. It's simply to control a message and to push back and not to go off script. And with her going on maternity leave and the president taking over some of these press briefings, you're going to get a lot more access, but probably not in the way you think. And it's certainly not going to help with any sort of clarity because he gets to a microphone, he goes off script, he meanders, he answers a question, then he does the weave. That's right.
Please.
Yep.
And here's the other thing to your point about access. We already hear from him.
Right.
Way more than we want to. Let's be honest. If he's not in front of a camera, he's on Truth Social. He's weighing in here or there. He never shuts up. We hear too much from him. Now he's going to every day have a press briefing. It's either going to be him, J.D. Vance, or some other cabinet members who, I guess, have nothing else to do. There's plenty of time to, you know, file lawsuits against the Atlantic.
This is pretty unprecedented that an administration is going to take over their own press briefings. And reports are coming out that there are no plans for any sort of formal replacement once Leavitt goes on leave. Yeah. Maybe nobody was willing to fill in for that role. Maybe there is nobody that they trust in that role. I have no idea. The president might think he's the best person to handle the messaging. But, I mean, this administration already gives us so much contradiction. So I can't even imagine what's going to happen if somebody from the administration, maybe the president, maybe J.D. Vance, maybe Marco Rubio, maybe Mark Wayne Mullen, I don't know, are all trotting out to the microphone on a daily basis. How much contradiction are we going to get? I mean,
it's going to be ridiculous. And then he'll start doing it just like he did with the COVID press briefings. Remember, it was going to be other people. Then it was him. Because to your point, yes, there's probably a lot of people that didn't want to do it, but he probably doesn't trust anybody else to do it like Caroline Leavitt does. Mm-hmm. She does whatever he wants, and you accurately portrayed her as an attack dog for the president. He does think he's better at it than everybody else because he thinks he's the smartest person on the planet, which is day by day being proven wildly inaccurate. That's bad thinking. No self, you know, no ability to look at yourself and make an honest judgment. But this is what we have to look forward to. To answer our question, I do not think there will be more transparency. I don't think we get transparency from Caroline Leavitt.
No.
So I believe it will be more Politburo-type messaging where it's this is what the party wants you to hear. This is what you should listen to. And any question will be drummed down. How are you going to give a press briefing to a group of people you loathe? He despises the press. He even went off last night on Norah O'Donnell on 60 Minutes. He cannot stand in front of the press without insulting them. And this is, at some point, is it better for us not to hear him at all? I mean, the right wing, far right wing media that they've handpicked will still be in that press room. But come on,
I think it's an interesting dynamic that he has with the press, because you're right. He does loathe the press, but it's also how he has gotten his fame, is through the press and through media. And so he also knows he needs them all at the same time, even though he hates the fact, at least from an outsider perspective, he hates the fact that they report on things that are happening within the country accurately most of the time, or report the facts. And that's why he loathes them. It's not the fact that they give him the attention and the airtime. It's the fact that they hold him accountable for things that he said or things that his administration is doing.
Well, sure.
And he doesn't want that.
So what's the answer then? I would argue, and I know it's never going to happen, we cut down on the coverage. Who cares that he's going to babble every day?
But it's good
because
for ratings.
Most of it, I know. Yes, I know. But it's all distractions. Everything is a distraction from what's really important. We still have, even though, and we're going to get into this thing at the hotel ballroom and the White House Correspondents' Dinner after the news. There's still the Epstein file stuff that's out there. There's still a war going on that we have no way to get out of. There are all these really important things. People are bleeding money trying to just get gas and food to go to live day to day. Can't afford insurance, but we're going to have to listen to more of this garbage just as a distraction. We all know we're being distracted, and yet we're letting them distract us. So there you go. What's your reaction to the shooting at the White House Correspondents' Dinner? Let's keep the good news rolling on a Monday. Give us a call, 855-75-CIVIC. I'm Brian Noonan.
I'm Jamie Martinson, 629 on the Civic Media Network.
From Lake Superior to Lake Michigan, this is Wisconsin's Morning Conversation. Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
6:35 right now. If you are listening this morning in Appleton and Oshkosh on WISS or in Eau Claire on 93.5 The Tap or in La Crosse on WLCX, we are glad that you are able to join us. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. All right. What was your reaction to the shooting at the White House Correspondents' Dinner on Saturday? As you can imagine, we have thoughts. I have thoughts. You have thoughts. Share your thoughts. Before we get into opinions and thoughts, Jamie, though, we have to lead with the facts, which most of us are very familiar with at this point because it has been a nonstop news story since it happened Saturday night. A man armed with guns and knives stormed the lobby outside the high-profile journalist dinner. It was attended by the president, multiple senior U.S. leaders, Pete Hegseth, Cash Patel, J.D. Vance, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Most of the cabinet was there, which seems odd to me anyway. But so this guy comes running in. One law enforcement official said the gunman had opened fire. Turns out he did fire once. It hit a Secret Service agent, thankfully, in the vest. That Secret Service agent is doing okay. Initial reports were that the gunman had been killed. He was not. He is in custody. He's believed to have made it past the outermost layer of security. If you've seen the video, and I'm sure you have, Jamie.
Mm-hmm.
It seems impossible, and you having just gone through TSA, it seems literally impossible for this to have happened. They said he sprinted for 50 yards. In the video, one Secret Service agent has his back to the entrance, and it appears out of the corner of his eye, sees a person dash past him, and then sidesteps and finally pulls his weapon. But I'm like, nobody saw this guy coming for 50 yards, but we'll get into that. I guess we'll stick with the facts for a while. Cole Thomas Allen is his name. He's of Torrance, California. As law enforcement went back, he took a train from California to Chicago, then a train from Chicago to Washington, D.C. He checked into the hotel, which is how he claims he got in his writings. That's how he got his weapons in the building, because he checked in well before they closed down the area for the White House Correspondents' Dinner, which has been happening in this same hotel, in this same subterranean ballroom since its inception. If you were looking at all the floor plans and everything that have been released in the last couple days, the area where he was detained is upstairs basically from the ballroom.
Yep.
Depending on what report you hear, he was just outside the ballroom. Depending on other reports, he was further away from the ballroom. According to acting Attorney General Blanche, he never made it anywhere near the president. That was a direct quote from Blanche. He never made it near the president. But yeah, so that's, I guess those are the facts, right?
It's what we know as of right now. And let me be clear. We're with this particular administration, no matter what you think happened on Saturday evening, we're never going to know the full scope of the details. We're just not. We are never going to know every detail, every nuance, because that is just not, this administration is not transparent in that particular way.
Right, but the problem is there's a lot of video coming out.
There is.
And a lot of pictures, and it's not the video controlled by the White House. It is video from people who were there and reports. There were too many people in this place to put a lid on something.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm not saying that I agree with all this, but I do. There's a lot of speculation that this may not be what it seems.
And I understand why people would think that, just because of how this administration has operated in the past and the fact that there was so much quiet and hush around the shooting on the campaign trail. And I don't know if I believe that this was some sort of event that was manufactured or staged based on the evidence that we have right now. And mind you, I'm one of those people who will change their mind. What we do know about Cole Allen is that his family actually notified authorities to a manifesto they found while he was traveling. They found a manifesto and notified authorities about this manifesto. And he was somebody who dabbled in very progressive rhetoric. He had been at multiple protests. And according to his sister and brother, they know that he had been stockpiling weapons and knives at his parents' house. And he also had been talking weeks prior to this to his family and friends about the fact that this administration, and this is according to his family, that the entire administration was going to be in this one place all at the same time. And he found that to be a very golden opportunity for somebody who disliked this administration. Now, at the time he was saying those things, according to his sister, they didn't think much about it until they found the manifesto. And then all of a sudden they put pieces together and they notified authorities. I get it.
And that is all true. But then as you start putting everything together, and I can't believe I'm starting to think this way, but going all the way back to that field last year,
sure,
and an ear that has grown back that every medical expert in the world said is impossible, that cartilage does not grow back.
No.
Evander Holyfield's ear has never grown back.
No.
Go to that. Go to the fact that this president lets nothing go, and since the day of that shooting, has never mentioned it. So, and to the fact that the Secret Service, even if this is not a staged event, which I'm not saying it is, I'm just putting out, you're able to make your own decisions. Either the Secret Service is wildly inept. Either way, either they are making crucial mistakes and these are legit acts of possible assassination, or they're just awful.
Well,
because there's no reason that we have footage of the guy in the field climbing up the building. We have footage of this guy running 50 yards past security.
Right.
It's like, come on. You're either really, really dumb or in on it.
Well, and let's be clear. We obviously, there is still Secret Service around this particular president. We also know that the Secret Service is at one of its lowest capacities as far as people signing up, being part of the Secret Service, that it's
right,
been in a really long time.
Protection detail is not going to be where they cut back. That's not the president's protection is not going to be
also
ancillary
know, though,
staffing.
We also know that this particular president has dabbled in bringing in his own handpicked Secret Service agents and also security from outside sources. So,
which is easier to control,
yes,
if you want to create something. Also,
but
footage
perhaps
from
not as
numerous,
trained either, right? That's
well,
where I look
true.
At too. You know,
and you look at footage, and there's footage from all different angles. The vice president is pulled out way before the president off that dais. And that seems, there's a lot of things that just seem weird to me. And so these are my opinions. I'm not saying it's true, but when you start putting them together, I'm wondering if other people are thinking this way as well. You see the vice president be pulled off first. They take their time getting the president up. Then he seems to fall, which he said he didn't fall, but we all see him go to the ground. Then there's still photos of him standing in the wings, looking out.
Mm-hmm.
Also, doesn't the First Lady have her own Secret Service protection normally? They leave her under the table.
Normally, right. but this is where I'm saying, though, we have, and this is why I get skeptical about anything, right? Because we have no idea what the inner workings of the current detail are. We know what they've done in the past. We know what other presidents have done, but we have no idea how this administration is maybe pulled back. Or maybe that.
But shouldn't the
guy,
president always be the first one out?
You would
shouldn't
think.
Shouldn't they get him out and then... Unlike letting him stand up and raise his fist or stand in the wings and watch this whole thing unfold, don't they? Look, we've all seen enough movies. The president goes out first and they don't stop until they get him in that car to get him out of that.
We also know his reaction to the Secret Service, thanks to Cassidy Hutchinson during the January 6th testimony, of how he has treated the Secret Service when he has been told that he has to get out of those situations. And we have no idea if there's some sort of edict to personify this tough guy that he thinks he might be if it's just, I stay. I mean, that's the thing that I keep going back to as well. I agree 100% that in the past, that is how Secret Service and security has operated. We have no idea what this president is trying to personify and project onto the public as far as this tough guy attitude.
Is there a coincidence? And again, I'm positing questions. You make up your own mind.
Sure.
Does it seem very coincidental that every time his polls drop very, very low, there's an incident? The fact that he's been shot down by judges about this ballroom, this militarily top secret, that's his words, not mine, militarily top secret ballroom that he has to build. Coincidence that he goes to the first White House correspondents' dinner since his presidency began. And then there's an incident in where? A ballroom. The ballroom that has never had an incident in all the years that this correspondence dinner has been there. All the years that cabinet members and the president has been in this ballroom. Never. Coincidence? I don't know. Is it a coincidence that we're in a war that is wildly unpopular? And now, look, somebody tried to come after me. Is it a coincidence that the whole world is burning, that people in the streets are screaming anti-Trump slogans because they can't afford gas, they can't afford food, they can't afford insurance? Are we to believe that everything is a coincidence, that it all just lines up that way? I don't know.
We've never
had
a president.
But I'm pointing out these are all things.
We've never had a president this wildly popular. And the last time somebody's polls sunk
wildly
to this
popular.
Level. Or wildly unpopular. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, where are you? I know you've been in Florida, but come on.
And we've never had a president whose polls have been this low. And when they were, clear back in the day of Richard Nixon, well, he resigned because he knew to do that. So at this point, knowing what the manifesto said, what his what Cole Allen's family has said was in the manifesto, because let's be real, we may never see that from this particular administration, at least until the press gets their hands on it. I'm going to go with this err on the side of caution that I believe with the unpopularity of this president, this was somebody who thought they had a prime opportunity to get access to this administration and acted. Now, if things change and I learn something much different, then I'm willing to change my mind. But if I'm going just on what I know about this shooter right now, his past, his rhetoric, his donations, and the things that his family has said about him, I'm going to say that, unfortunately, maybe this might be just very coincidental based on the unpopularity of this president, the administration, and what they're currently doing, and perhaps just really dereliction of security detail and duty.
Well, we'll hear a little bit from the president on the other side of this, and then we also have to get into politicians who resign in disgrace. Should they still be eligible for taxpayer-funded pensions? We'll get into that. We'll get your text at 855-75-CIVIC. So much to do because it's Monday on Daybreak. I'm Brian Noonan.
I'm Jamie Martinson. 6:48 right now on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All facts, no fiction. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
6:52 right now. We hope that you're having a great start to your Monday morning. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. Welcome. We're going to talk a little bit more about the shooting at the White House Correspondents' Dinner before we get into pensions that you are funding for people who have resigned from Congress in disgrace. Holy cow, we're coming out hot today. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. All right, so we laid out the facts. I laid out some coincidences that make me skeptical about what happened. But that's ultimately, it's going to be up to you to make your own decision. I'm not telling you what to think. But what's funny is, now, I will quibble with the wording of assassination attempt.
Mm-hmm.
Only because the guy never made it anywhere close to any official. You know, he was stopped well outside. Was that his intent? It seems like it. So, you know, but whatever you want to call it, you know what happened. There was a Secret Service agent hurt. Thankfully, he is doing well by all reports. He was hit in the vest, so that's good. But then, immediately afterwards, the cabinet convened at the White House to get in front of the cameras because they're like, man, they are like teenagers. If it's not on Insta, it didn't happen. They want to be in front of the cameras at every moment. And that is not opinion, that is fact, because there they were. You've got the president up there, you've got Kash Patel, you got Pete Hegseth, you got Jeanine Pirro, you've got everybody was around, and they're all smiling, and then the president started to talk. And he made one of the most disingenuous comments that, it doesn't surprise me, but Jamie, we should unify as a country,
yes,
according to Donald Trump.
Yes.
Parker.
But in light of this evening's events, I ask that all Americans recommit with their hearts in resolving our difference peacefully. We have to resolve our differences. I will say, you had Republicans, Democrats, Independents, Conservatives, Liberals, and Progressives. Those words are interchangeable, perhaps, but maybe they're not. But yet everybody in that room, big crowd, record-setting crowd, there was a record-setting group of people.
No, there wasn't. Why is it always about you? And why you still got to take, you're talking about bringing people together and setting aside our differences, and you still take a shot at Democrats. You can't help yourself because you don't really want unity.
Especially when most Democrats that I saw from the national level all the way down to local levels a majority of them were condemning any sort of violence and the act that happened on Saturday night at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Nobody condoned this in any
way. Nobody condoned it.
No.
Nobody condoned it. And I apologize if I cannot take the comments of a man telling me to unify and put our differences aside. The same man who, when Robert Mueller died, said, "I'm glad," and tweeted it out. I can't, don't tell me you want us to unify. You only want us to unify because it's about you. And you want to prove, oh, look, I'm compassionate. Once again, your polls are in the garbage. The country is really unhappy. Please, we need to unify. You are the most divisive human being on the face of the earth. And we have the receipts to prove it. So don't come at me with that kind of, oh, well, can't we all kumbaya? When, like you said, Jamie, nobody is saying, well, there's one guy here in Wisconsin who's saying it. But we'll get into that. But most normal, rational thinking people, nobody wants to see anybody shot.
No.
I don't care how much I dislike a politician. I don't want to see them assassinated. No. I don't want to see them hurt. But I don't want them in office, but I don't right. I want them to go on and have a life. But don't come at me with your fake unifications. And then don't use it as an excuse, coincidence number two, to push your agenda.
I didn't want to say this, but this is why we have to have all of the attributes of what we're planning at the White House. It's actually a larger room, and it's much more secure. It's drone-proof, it's bulletproof glass. We need the ballroom. That's why Secret Service, that's why the military are demanding it.
He was in an underground ballroom yesterday, or Saturday. Mm-hmm. It's a subterranean is how they describe it on the hotel site. Subterranean.
Yeah.
Which is why
the White House Correspondents' Dinner is usually held at this particular motel,
yes.
Because they do have a subterranean ballroom for more protection.
And you know what? They didn't need bulletproof glass there because there's no windows.
Right.
And the hotel is, you know, maybe not drone-proof, but I don't know if you're getting missile strikes at the hotel, they'd probably get them at the White House too. Not that I would want that or ever see that or we've ever seen it before. And there's been divisive presence. We've got some people texting in at 855-75-CIVIC. And again, you're welcome to your opinion and sharing them. Lynn's in Golden Valley. I was a bit surprised that both the president and vice president could both sit near each other at an exposed public event in the White House, okay, but outside. Everybody was there.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if they had a designated survivor somewhere. That's the thing. They keep one politician sequestered.
Sure.
So in case something like this were to happen, but I don't know if they do that. I know they do it during the State of the Union and anytime they're mm-hmm. all gathered at the Capitol, but I don't know if something like this, because as I said, everybody was there. Stephen Mount Horeb, Trump's popularity numbers are dropping, so he stages another assassination attempt. And what do we got? One more.
Roger.
There it is.
Point.
Roger.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jim.
He says, "I'm not calling what happened Saturday evening an assassination attempt, but there are some circumstances that don't make sense. It starts with ushering J.D. Vance out of the suite before Trump. That is not normal protocol."
Yep.
Nothing about this
presidency. A lot of coincidences, friends.
And nothing is normal. That's the thing I think we keep forgetting. Nothing is normal.
Nothing is normal. So many coincidences. All right, in the second hour, we'll do some headlines. We'll do swipe or stay. We've got a lot more to talk about. The Packers had a draft this weekend, too. We got to talk a little football. It's Daybreak. I'm Brian Noonan.
I'm Jamie Martinson. 6:59 right now. You are listening to the Civic Media.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.